You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. I've got Jess Thompson and I've got Todd Atkins with me.
What?
Hello.
Sorry, I was doing that for like 6 years. It's not going to go away.
Yeah.
I like it.
Unless you tell me to, and then it'll go away.
I'm not going to tell you to. I just edited it out. It's no big deal. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about a subject that touches really everybody, but particularly pastors and church planters are feeling the pinch of not enough time. And, you know, we're in a day and age where in pastoral ministry, we're talking a lot about bivocationalism, co-vocationalism, side hustling, the gig economy, because financially speaking, it's getting harder and harder for pastors, especially pastors of new churches, to have enough money to take care of their family, meet their obligations, survive in the cities God's called them to reach, and do ministry full time. Virtually every pastor I know who's working in an urban context has some sort of other means of income. And that means that the days of sitting around and studying your sermon for 35 or 40 hours are long gone. And so we want to talk about organizing your week a little bit. And so we have Todd, who is known for his expertise and leadership. And we know that that means that you have a super organized week every single week, Todd. Isn't that right?
Jess could actually answer that because she started out as my assistant. She didn't stay my assistant long. Less than a year, she had my job.
Yeah.
And which was awesome.
And my observation, you should be her assistant these days.
Probably.
No, Todd is really good at developing leaders. That is why I didn't stay his assistant.
So the reality that is okay. If we want to lead in, I would say that's part of the biggest issue. Is if you look historically at what has happened in our churches since like the 60s, 70s, you had the massive issue, not issue. You had the massive church growth movement. And so a lot of our churches got bigger. We moved people from smaller pools to bigger pools, whatever you want to say. But the reality is, sure, you had some issues late 70s and like 2008. But after, you know, in between all that, America, if we're talking to mostly an American audience, has been very, very affluent, which means that churches have been able to buy leaders instead of build leaders. When churches were 150 or less, you knew everybody.
Yeah.
You knew their names. You knew what they did for a living. You knew their basic temperament. You knew a lot of things about them that you could quickly help figure out what their level of leadership was, and then work with them to develop them into whatever you needed. You didn't need as many positions in that size church as you do, it seems, in a modern day church, in part because we've been affected by the church growth movement and we made everything, in my opinion, very complicated. And we have a lot of affinity-based ministries, and a lot of churches right now are built on and built for a church that no longer exists.
Yeah.
And you have a wonderful opportunity as a church plant to start from scratch.
Yeah.
So whatever you add, you must be able to staff well. That either is paid staff or it's volunteers or leaders. And so you have to become not a master doer and not a master delegator, because delegation is a lie. That is not leadership. Delegation is that's not development. Development is a higher form. It's not just choosing the person and the position and practicing leadership placement. It is about leadership development. That is what we're called to in Ephesians 4, and that is what every Christian is called to, is to move from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. Yes. However, you're his workmanship and he's got stuff for you to do in your church. And we have from I don't want to go too far, but we often view the people in our pews as vessels to be filled and not torches to be lit. And that must change. And I know it just sounds like I'm ranting and raving, but you have to take a step back. And here's the first thing that you can do right now. Look, tell me the 20 ways that you spend your time. Press pause on this. Press pause. Write down the 20 ways you spend your time and then come back.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're back. I want you to put two columns there and put a check it for doing or developing. This is where Satan will get in there and he will try to, I know what the answer is now. I'm supposed to be developing people. So I'm going to mark it as both. And I'll be like, no. You're probably spending way too much time doing versus developing. So the most practical thing that you can start to do when you look at your week is set aside time, less time for doing and more time for developing.
Yeah.
And I've already taken up like 5 minutes.
Well,
no, I love that.
Yeah, that's super helpful, Todd, actually. Jess, in the role that you're in right now, working with church planters, you're observing a whole bunch of church planters kind of at the same level of the journey, different cultural backgrounds, different settings. They're all in a roughly urban or suburban context. What are you seeing, in terms of when you look across the board at church planters? Are you observing that they're pretty good at managing their time and their weeks, balancing the busy schedules they have? Or do you think that that there's some growth that could happen in this area?
I think it's difficult because church planters are required to be so many things. Yeah. They have to develop people. They have to teach. They have to lead. They have to be administrative and organized. It's really, to ask all of that from just one person is hard. So, Todd talks about, are you doing or developing? I think you need to know what God has called you to and where you are gifted at. And not that you want to delegate administrative stuff to someone else, but who can you bring alongside to do ministry with who excels in the areas where you're weak in? Maybe discipleship, meeting one-on-one with people is draining. Not that you can't do that. You have to do that. But who can you bring alongside of you who that's just their joy in life? So I would say surrounding people in ministry that you're doing life with that excel in those things that can encourage you to do them as well and that you can rely on. So I think, obviously it's hard to check all the boxes and the tyranny of the urgent people just throwing things at you. But I think you need to be disciplined enough to know what you have time for and setting your goals for the week, as painful as it is. Every Sunday night I try to lay out what do I need to accomplish this week? What are the 5 things I did last week? What are the 5 things I need to do this week? I'm sure Todd has something way more scientific and better than that, but I try to lay out the plan of what you're trying to accomplish so that when things pop up, you might not be able to not do them. Somebody's father passed away, somebody's going through a struggle, you're going to need to be there for them. But what are those things that you really need to accomplish and not letting other people's needs and demands kind of move you from what you feel like God has on your plate to do this week?
Yeah, that's a great point. So in my experience, a lot of the issue comes down to, there's actually been quite a few books in the last couple of years that have come out on this subject, which is just, heightened the awareness that it's a real pinch point for pastors and leaders. I really think it comes down to not so much time management, but really prioritization. How is it that we're prioritizing the things that we do? Just what you just mentioned, I think, is so true. There's a lot of demands on the pastoral leader. There are a lot of expectations on them. They're supposed to be good at a lot of different things. And it's really very challenging and possible to be good at all of those things. And so what are the things that I have one leader I work with who says, what are the things that only you can do? Identify those things that you're the only person who can do those. And in that category, you need to be doing and developing, as Todd said. So let's talk about what the highest priorities are for a church planter in particular, because a pastor of an existing church that has a lot of ministries to run, a lot of staff to keep, on track is a way different experience than a church planter. So what do you guys think church planters need to be focused on and prioritizing in the beginning?
I would say in the very beginning, and I've kind of talked about this, I think, in a previous podcast that we've done. You know, if I'm thinking about phases, I think that's probably helpful for a church planter. So for a church planter that you haven't launched yet and you're in that phase, the absolute most important thing that you can be doing right now is developing people. I understand that, you know, you don't have a great ministry that has all these little needs that, you know, you have all these people for. No, you're still trying to develop people, because when you hit the launch phase and the post-launch phase, you're going to need all of those people. And the stickiness of your plant depends on the people, not the programming, not clean and clear processes, which you all know I love, but it's your people that will be the stickiest thing at your church. Mm-hmm. So you have to do a yeoman's job now, early on, in developing that person and making sure that they understand the values, that they articulate the values, that they imbibe the values. So that when, you know, you do get to some of the, you basically have an opportunity for core competency development in the launch phase, and then role development in the role competency, in the first phase as it's launching. So yeah, you may have that person over hospitality or parking or being a husher or whatever it is, running that team. I called them the hushers when I was a kid because that's what I thought their name was, because they always told me to be quiet. Can you imagine that? but you know, you had those people. So I can do stuff like with a leader, I can say, hey, I want you to have a core competency in being able to handle conflict and manage conflict on a team.
Yeah.
Versus I need you to know how to make sure that we, you know, run the checklist for offering procedures or whatever it is. That's role-based and it can come later. Don't miss the foundational opportunity that you have to sow that now. I mean, if you want to talk about practical tools, of course, there's a bunch of different frameworks and quadrants and ways to organize it that we can unpack in a little bit if you want.
Yeah. Jess, in your observation of church planters, what are the things that they should absolutely be focused on as those top two or three items in the first year or the 0 year leading up to the plant?
Well, I think what Todd's referencing is like building your team of people that are leaving their churches to come help you, that are willing to step out in faith, and casting your vision, clearly being able to communicate what it is that God has called you and your church to do, because that's going to draw people to you. That's going to draw people to the Lord. And if you can't articulate it well and share it well, they are not going to understand what we're doing. So I think if they can, you know, really clearly articulate what it is, and then putting a framework around it, what different ministry areas do we need to accomplish it? I've seen church plants who spend a lot of time on, you know, newcomers and welcome and greeting, and churches who spend no time on that, because they are going to focus on helping you know Jesus, and we don't care what it looks like when you walk in the door and how messy the lobby is.
Right.
You know, but I think it's important for you to understand what it is that God's calling you and your church to do, and then building your teams and your people around it. And, you know, we have church plants that spend a year in that process of building their teams and getting to know them, discipling them, having them walk alongside it. And I think that, and what, you know, to Todd's point, what he has done in developing leaders, it's not giving them the task, it's having them do it with you.
Yeah.
It's having them watch you do it. It's having them learn how you do it and how you think it should be done.
Yeah.
And then them being able to do that as well.
Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, there was this game called Whack-A-Mole. You guys remember Whack-A-Mole? Yeah. And there's a lot of analogies for life in the game of Whack-A-Mole, actually. But basically,
down people with the gospel. No.
Basically, in the game of Whack-A-Mole, these like heads pop up out of this box, and you've got this like mallet that's you know, got a pillow on the end of it and you hit the one that pops up, but they all pop up, you know, fast and you got to hit them and you're moving all over the place. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make is church planting feels a lot like whack-a-mole because, you know, there's like, you know, and a lot of leadership feels like that. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of different fronts, and the quicker you're moving. And so you can tend to get into this like pattern of frenzy and feverishness, just like constantly moving really, really fast. But the truth is, if I'm trying to hit every head that pops up, I'm going to miss some. I'm going to miss some important ones. But if I identify which ones are really, really important and I just keep my focus on those, then I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to have a higher rate of hitting them. So that's a silly little illustration, but I do think that church planters, and as I look back at my life in ministry and church planting, I wish I'd have been more focused on the most important things and less focused on some of the things that I should have just let go in the beginning. Because one of the things you don't realize when you're starting a new church is you don't realize how your involvement in something prohibits other people from jumping into that. You know, so if I'm doing something poorly or halfway, I indicate to somebody else that they're not welcome into that space to make it great. So it's really important for me to be able to focus on the things that are really important.
For me, as a person who, you know, sometimes the things that are really important feel very overwhelming and you put them off. They're the hardest things to do, but they're the most important things to do. And so my encouragement that I practice to myself is to try to do that thing that you don't want to do or that feels hard or heavy first. Do it early in the week. Do it soon, because as soon as you've completed that thing, whatever it is, calling somebody back, the thing that, whatever it is that feels heavy, to do it soon and early. And I think that will help.
Yeah.
So I love that analogy. And in fact, I would say everybody that hears this podcast should, anytime you see a whack-a-mole game from now on, you should remember this conversation. Here's why. If you look at the whack-a-mole analogy, if you could imagine painting those different colors, so like red, yellow, orange, and green, as an example, because if you go back to classic time management, like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, you can't beat it. That's the best framework ever because it helps you understand what's important, not important, urgent, not urgent. And so if you use that quadrant, you can actually kind of adjust your day. If you overlay that with another thing that is like, hey, this is what you do. This is what you defer, delay. This is what I'm going to delegate. And then it's very important to have things that I drop. So that would be red, you know, orange, yellow, and green. So that now, if you really want to get real, what we could do is we could have named by all church planters a whack-a-mole. And it what it's made to do is the green ones are worth 100 points, you know, and then yellow are worth 50 and then 25 and the reds are worth 0. You don't even want to mess with those. And so, you know, I love that analogy simply because it's very helpful. You put points on it because you need to value your time from a prioritization perspective, because everything that you spend your time on does have results or not. I love that analogy, actually.
No, that's super helpful.
Bonus points, because you could have a family night out with your kids and take them to Chuck E. Cheese and play whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
So you could accomplish 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah. Wow.
Or 1 whack-a-mole hammer.
So, Jess, we talked about the whack-a-mole game. But there is a sense in which when you're first starting a church, there's some things you can't avoid being the generalist on. You have to be a bit of a generalist. But as time progresses, you can move from being a generalist to being really focused on the things that you're most gifted to do. And so, I mean, I have a leader that I work with that constantly is asking me, what's the thing that only you can do? And that helps to keep me focused on doing the things that are really in my unique gift mix that God's endowed me with, you know, and not spending my time doing things that I'm not gifted to do. But in the beginning, you have to do a little of that. But as time marches on, hopefully you can sharpen the pencil a bit and get a bit more specific
on the- And in you doing that, it allows for other people to operate in their gifts and to do the thing that God has asked them to do.
Yeah.
So I think oftentimes people don't utilize other people's giftedness and their strengths enough in ministry where I love welcoming people. I've never met a person I can't talk to. Yeah. That's put me in a room with a bunch of strangers and it's my favorite place to be. Right. There's other people that they'd rather, you know, play whack-a-mole for 3 hours than do that. So I think utilizing, discovering, but you have to know people well enough to know where they're gifted and how you can put them in a spot in ministry where they can do what God's called them to do.
That's great. Well, Jess and Todd, it's been great to talk to you today. Thank you so much for spending time talking with me today.
As you may know, our team over at newchurches.com has been working really hard to make great video courses for you to use. And we've been working on this one course called the Church Planting Masterclass. This thing's incredible. It's got some of the best practitioners in church planting talking about relevant subjects that every church planter cares about and aspiring church planters care about. Well, we've just finished half of the course, chapters, modules 1 through 6 out of 12 that we're going to have 40 videos by incredible practitioners like Matt Chandler and Trillia Newbell and David Platt and Ed Stetzer. They're all on there. And we are offering an incentive to try to get people to check out the Church Planting Masterclass. Of course, the class is free. It doesn't even cost anything. But to encourage people to go and take the class, for the first 500 people who complete modules 1 through 6, we're going to mail you like real books, printed books. We're going to mail them to you. Two of my favorite church planting books, Tom Bernito's book called The Honest Guide to Church Planting, and then Christine Hoover's book, The Church Planting Wife. So we're going to mail those to you. All you have to do is complete modules 1 through 6 and do a little 10-question quiz at the end of it. And if you complete that in the mail, you're going to get these great church planting books and resources. We're doing all that because we want to encourage you to become familiar with the Church Planting Masterclass so that you can use it to help disciple leaders and multiply churches in your own context.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.